Floyd Reese joining us here on Morning Drive, co-host of Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, of course, from 2 to 6 p.m. every day with Jared Stillman. Floyd, how are you, sir? Welcome to the show. What do you make of special teams in general, Floyd? Are they something that you can sustain all season long, blocking a bunch of field goals to win football games, or you know, how do you view special teams as a unit? Is this something that is now here to stay for Mike Vrabel?
You know, that would be great if it was. We all know that's pretty difficult to do. It was funny because we were talking about it yesterday on the show, and I asked Jared, I said, how many long balls, you know, touchdown passes have we thrown since Tannehill's taken over? We said, two. And I said, okay, how many offensive plays do you get in a game? And you got two big plays. And how many special, you know, how many field goal blocks do you get in a game? And here you've gotten a couple of big plays. So from a percentage standpoint, you know, you're getting a lot more big plays off of the special teams recently than we have off of the offense. So it's we've been really good and really lucky. You know, I thought this week's block was you know, directly related to the last block because, you know, the Skinner, the guy on the outside, he wanted so badly to get in that he let the inside guy go. And he was actually just standing there waiting for the kick. You know, he got there so fast. So it's difficult. The opportunities just aren't there as much as they are on the other parts of the team. But man, oh man, when they happen, are they gigantic?
Yeah, they are. You know, those are those plays that in the meetings before games, you always mark and say, you know, if we get X play, we get explosive plays, we get, you know, change of position or change of field plays, then, you know, the likelihood of us winning grows up tremendously. And then at the end of the game, you put all the explosive plays, and one of the explosive plays, whereas it wasn't a pass from a guy or a run, you know, from Derrick Henry, it was the blocked field goal. To them, that's an explosive play. That's a change of possession play or change of field play that created a touchdown. Looking at the way the Tennessee Titans offense is operating, why do you think it took them so long to get here? Because it's not like and get it. I know Taylor Lewan. We can always go back to the Taylor Lewan injury. But it's not like they were not running the ball well without Taylor. They were not protecting. We know that. But they still was running the ball okay as a team. But they just didn't commit to it, I don't think.
You know, I think it was interesting because we had a stat the other day where Marcus was a quarterback, mm-hmm. Derek had the fifth most touches of any back in the league. And so, you know, we were getting it. It just wasn't working. I really think part of that is the quarterback. You know, I mean, people are now where they were saying, hey, stick eight in the box, put mm-hmm. nine in the box. You know, we'll make them beat us throwing the ball. Now they may be still saying kind of the same thing, but it's, you know, well, we'll put eight up there and be aware of the play pass and be aware of the slant and be, you know, there's more to it. You know, let's face it, for whatever reason, the confidence that Ryan is showing as the quarterback and the timing and the control and the accuracy, all those things really, really have helped the offense. You know, not taking anything away from Derek and not taking anything away from the offensive line that I think is actually blocking a little bit better. You know, success breeds success. And when you feel good about yourself as an offense, you feel like you can do it, then, you know, the chances of you doing it are always much better.
What, as a general manager, how are you evaluating Ryan Tannehill's statistical performance, wins and losses, results matter, all that stuff, versus his seven-year, eight-year career? You can't pay for the best 10 games of his career, right?
Well, you know, that's going to end up being your choice. And this is why it's so difficult for GMs because, you know, you're looking at it and you're saying, okay, is, in fact, he a different guy with us for whatever reason? You know, whether it's the commitment of the organization, whether it's the way the defense is playing or the big plays on special teams or whatever the reason. The fact is that it is working right now, and I think that's what makes it really, really hard. Because you're saying to yourself the whole time, okay, I'm doing this off of 10 games, and I really feel good about the 10 games. So we decided to do it, and then, you know, every night before you go to bed, you're thinking, what if he reverts back to the way he was in Miami, you know? So I don't know. I mean, he's older. He's more mature. I think he has seen his initial chance as the franchise guy at Miami kind of disappear. Maybe he understands the position better. Maybe he understands this offense better. You know, maybe the continuity of the guys. You know, what's amazing is when he goes into a game, you had guys catch. We had a guy catch a ball this week. I didn't even know who he was. I didn't even know he's on the team, you know. And he catches a ball, makes it a great pass, great catch. Everything about it was good. But he's involving every guy. And so I think the guys have a little bit of a belief that, hey, if I get in here and if I run this route right and if I'm where I'm supposed to be, the ball's going to come to me. And there's a little bit of confidence along that line.
You're right, Floyd. You talk with Floyd Reese. You can catch him from 2 to 6, Jared and the GM, or SpongeBob and Mr. Krabs, whatever one you want to call him.
Are you okay with that name, Floyd, calling you Mr. Krabs?
Hey, Mr. Krabs got all the money, Floyd.
Hey,
Floyd, you're absolutely right in regards to, you know, the quarterback coming in and guys just feeling different because I can, you know, I go back to and not that the guys felt different. I think the guys just felt, okay, there's no panic. When Steve went down and Neil comes in, there was no panic because everyone trusted Neil and everyone trusted that he can come in and get the job done. And he did just that. So everyone went in and they wanted to play even harder to prove that, hey, listen, we can hold the ship, you know, straight until Matt comes back. We'll be fine. So I think that's what's going on. Like you said, with Tannehill, these guys have just realized that they play. It seems like they're playing with more confidence now that Ryan is underneath center because he gives the receivers that opportunity to go out there and just make a play. We always said, just throw it to us and let us make the play. And I think that's what Ryan is doing at this point in time. Talk about contracts. When do you start negotiating Derrick Henry? Do you start talking to his agent right now? Because the price is only going to go up.
Right. You know, I think I'm just guessing now, but I'm going to guess that he's been talking for a while. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's one of those things that you don't, you know, you don't wait until, okay, the season's over, free agency starts today, I start talking today, because there's just not enough time. I mean, these are going to be big, complicated contracts. And so, you know, you have to take a lot of lead time, a lot of preparation time, a lot of, you know, you're going to, at a point in time, I've always felt like during the discussions or negotiations or whatever you want to call them, you get to a point where you say to yourself, you know what, we're not going to be able to sign this guy. We're going to have to franchise him or transition him or do something to hold on to him if, in fact, that's what we want to do. Or maybe it goes the other way and you say, you know what, there's a deal here to be made. And so, you know, we're waiting for the right time or the right, you know, opportunity to make that deal. And then you can go on to the next guy. I mean, are you going to get both the quarterback and the running back done? You'd like to think so. But, you know, as a worst-case scenario, if you can get one done, then you can franchise the other, or you can transition them, or you can franchise and transition, or whatever it is that you want to do to be able to keep them. Or, you know, or you just say, hey, I can't get it done. I mean, that's – you remember John Runyon. Mm-hmm. I mean, we tried like crazy to sign John Runyon, and the bottom line was we just didn't have enough money. You know, we couldn't do it, and Philadelphia did, and, of course, he went on and played another 40 years at an all-pro level. So
That's got to be a record.
That's my luck, you know.
Floyd Reese joining us here. Harold Landry III, every time I look at a play, a series – you know, a quarter, what important situations. It feels like Harold Landry is impacting the game at every turn. He had a big part in the interception, another sack. He's starting to look like a double-digit sack guy. What do you see from his development, and what is his ceiling?
You know, I don't know what his ceiling is. I mean, you have to feel pretty good about it. I think you look at his development and what he's doing, and he's really coming along nicely. Probably on the team, the one of the underrated guys. You know, for us to have a pass rusher that's got, what's he got, 9 sacks or something, you know, to get a guy that is in that, approaching that double-digit sack guy, we haven't had him for a while. And Landry is doing it on a fairly consistent basis. You know, if you watch the games, he's getting pressure. He had the, you know, got to the quarterback and forced the one interception that I think Byard came up with. So, I mean, he is playing well, and we're not talking a lot about him for whatever reason. But I think he's, you know, the upside you have to be really, really excited about. Because he's rushing from the outside. You see him run tricks, go inside, and still beat guards and centers, slide through the protection. So I think, you know, if he can get to the point where we can get this, like, on a yearly basis, then you're going to feel pretty good about him. And then, you know, you're going to have to supplement, find somebody else that can come in and help him on the other side or inside.
Floyd Reese, always a pleasure, my friend. Good talking to you, bud.
Thanks, guys.
I have two questions, mm-hmm. for, and we did not touch on this a lot yesterday, Derek. One is the special teams. Is it sustainable what they're doing? Are they actually good on special teams? Because it feels like they were terrible at the start of the year. So is it sustainable? And then there's one area of concern I have on the current roster moving forward for the final 5 weeks. We'll get to that when we return. A major concern, and can special teams be sustained? Titans talk when we return. Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.